For those of you watching online, I told the folks who were here earlier before class began that I hope it's not too technical for everybody, the class, the lesson for today. We're looking at Christian evidences, and the way I split this up, this particular lesson up, is, I did last week all the Bible-heavy stuff, and today, not quite as much Bible-heavy stuff today. So we do want to keep in mind the two verses that are on the screen there. And of course, that's Romans 1:20 and 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. We always need to be ready to give a defense, to give an answer for the hope that is within us. And Romans 1:20 also is helpful. Let me read that one outright. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We're going to be looking at something today that really, in my opinion at least, leaves people without excuse, particularly the scientists who look into this particular topic that we'll be considering here today. It is quite remarkable. You know, in science, right, you make predictions, right? You've got to make predictions about science to see what prediction what things would we expect to happen if the Earth is young? If the Earth is, I say young according to scientists would, and for us would be about 10,000 years. Of course, we think it's a little less than that, but that's the ballpark that we're working with. So what would be some things that we would expect to see in the world? First off, one thing we would expect to see, at some point, soft tissue and dinosaur bones. Turns out, that exists. There have been soft tissue found in dinosaur bones. That is absolutely 100% impossible if all the dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. Just impossible. If they died out in the flood about 4,500 years ago? Why not? Makes perfect sense. That's one of the things we would expect. Another thing we would expect is we would expect to find some commonalities within our genetics. And so we're going to look at some of the genetics of Adam and Eve. How do we determine the genetics of Adam and Eve? Yes. Why would who have died? The dinosaurs? Because everything died in the flood except for two of every animal.
What's a dinosaur?
What do you mean, what's...
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Okay. There's still, you're not saying they didn't exist anymore. You're just saying a lot of them died out.
I'm saying most of them died out in the flood, yes. Yes.
Sorry, I told you my brain was in there.
most dinosaurs died out. Most of everything died out in the flood, save two of every animal, two of every unclean animal that were on the ark. Okay. So with the genetics of Adam and Eve, there are two avenues in which we can determine genetics of Adam and Eve. And one of them, the first one we're going to look at, is what's called mitochondrial Eve. You might have heard of that in Popular Science a few years ago, and not the magazine Popular Science, but in it was in the news at some point. Oh, they found mitochondrial Eve! And then you have to wonder, well, what on earth is that? Do you remember reading about that or hearing about that in the news at all? Well, yeah, I mean, it was a while ago. In fact, the papers that initially discovered this, I didn't realize, was in the 80s. 1987, I think, is when this paper first came out, and there's been some work on that afterward. But it was a pretty huge deal, and I find it rather fascinating, which is why we're talking about it today. Now, what is mitochondrial Eve? What is that? I mean, you've heard of mitochondria, perhaps, from high school science?
I've heard the word.
Heard the word? Well, that's all right.
One day, probably.
It's the whole idea of mitochondrial Eve comes, centers on something called mitochondrial DNA. You're familiar with DNA, right? DNA is, yes, deoxyribonucleic acid, right? The building blocks of life, essentially. Well, most of our DNA is in the nucleus of the cell, right? But there's something called mitochondrial DNA. There's a much smaller a strand of DNA within the mitochondria. And you've got your picture of the cell there. And the mitochondria is known, is one of the little organelles, one of the fun little things inside the cell wall in what's called the cytoplasm. It's got all that stuff in there. Anyway, it was drilled into many of us that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. The powerhouse of the cell. And so that's how many of us know that. It's what gives cells energy so that they can do their thing, reproduce, and all sorts of stuff like that. Well, the interesting thing about mitochondrial DNA is that it's only passed through the mother. It's only passed through the mother. And so we see this fun little diagram of two individuals, a boy and a girl. The boy is on the left side, the girl is on the right, and the mitochondrial DNA follows this path where it follows the great-great-grandmother to the great-grandmother to the grandmother to the mother and then to the girl. But the boy also gets it, but the boy can't pass it on. The girl gets it, but the girl can pass it on. So, I have my mother's mitochondrial DNA, mtDNA, who in turn had her mother's and her mother's and her mother's. And so it I don't get any of it from my father. Now, there is actually some dispute about that. It's kind of funny trying to read up. This was touted as the whole proof that we found mitochondrial Eve based on this particular thing. But it's all based on the assumption, I guess. It's hard really to, I guess it's still a hypothesis. The point is, I was looking up recent papers to see if this was reliable. And 2018, there was a paper that said, no, it's not reliable at all. Because you do get stuff from the male. Before it was believed to be very rare for that, what's called recombination. And then I looked it up in 2020, and I found a 2020 paper that said, no, it is reliable. It is very rare. So there does not seem to be a consensus in the scientific world about whether or not mitochondrial DNA can be used for this sort of thing. So keep that in mind, but I think we can look at some of these things and realize maybe it's more reliable than some like to think. But it only passes through the mother. At least that's the idea, that it only passes through the mother. And there's no change from mother to child. There's no change from mother to child with some occasional mutations. One of the things that's absolutely true, we talked about this on Sunday, about some aspects of evolution are true, and one of those is that mutations occur. That is absolutely true. Mutations do occur over time. Some of them are, you don't even notice them. They just happen, and it's just this little thing here and there. One letter in the DNA strain changes, and you don't even notice. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it's a positive change, which is very rare. But sometimes, most of the time, you hardly notice it. And anytime you do notice it, it's usually a negative change. Something bad happens. But you know, little things happen here or there. And they have to be able to, well, they were trying to decide by looking at all of our DNA, all of our mtDNA, all of our mitochondrial DNA, trying to figure out all the differences and trying to figure out the rate at which the mutations occur. And so they call it the mitochondrial clock. And so they try to figure out, okay, there's all these changes. These are obviously done by mutations whenever they collected all their samples. Mutations are a result of these. These are supposed to be the same. And so they found how far back it will go. And the truth is we all have very similar mitochondrial DNA today. It's very similar. Those little mutations are what we would find. And in fact, we expect that. As Christians who believe the Bible, we expect for all of our mtDNA to be very close to the same. We do, because we believe in a true Eve, right? The biblical Eve. And so as a result, we're going to get this trait that we have very similar to one another. And they date it to about 100,000 to 230,000 years ago. We'll talk more about the dates later. But this is how they, this is the time period that they have determined for mitochondrial Eve to have lived. And there's this wide gap because there's absolutely no certainty as to the rate of the mitochondrial clock, as to how quickly the mtDNA mutates. They have no idea. So this is a really big guess. In fact, it changes constantly. You try to look up the most updated numbers, and it changes drastically by tens of thousands of years we'll try it a little bit differently. So it's there's hardly any certainty to it. But this is the dates that they've come up with, the latest dates. There is a male version of this. There's a male version of this, the Y chromosomal atom. I would imagine we're familiar with Y chromosomes. Chromosomes, there's of course the X and Y chromosome. Our genes, right, are in the chromosomes, the DNA are in the chromosomes of the nucleus of the cell. Right, they're housed there, and they determine everything about us in terms of our genetic makeup, in terms of our physical traits, and all the things that we have there. And we have 23 of them, which is why one of the DNA testing kits is called 23andMe, because it's talking about 23 chromosomes. The last one, well, I don't know if they've decided it was the last one or if it ended up being the last one somehow, but the last one there determines your sex, determines whether or not you're male or female. And if you're male, it's an XY, an X and a Y. If you're female, then it's two X's. All men have an X, and so if they contribute an X chromosome, then you're going to have a girl. If we contribute a Y chromosome, then you're going to have a boy, because the woman only has two X's and contributes all that. So they would only contribute an X, and so you would have an XY or an XX, depending on what the male contributes. Of course, we're interested in the male side at this point. Does the female have a Y chromosome at all? No. Does not. So, we are looking at the male side of things. So, it's only passed through the father. Something that's only passed through the father. No female contribution to this at all. And this is much more certain than the mitochondrial DNA. Of course, it's very similar to what we looked at. That's a little harder to see. But you can see it goes from the great-great-grandfather, at least in this diagram, all the way down to the boy. And none of it goes to the girl. And so you have this Y chromosome that passes down from boy to boy to boy, man to man to man, male to male to male. All right. And again, because the female doesn't contribute anything, to this, then there is hardly any change. No change from the father, except, again, possible minor mutations that you would have there. So then all men would have similar Y chromosomes. And do we expect that in the creation model, the young Earth creation model? Yes, of course we do, because we have an Adam, a true Adam, a biblical Adam. So we expect this. This is exactly what we would expect. But you do note that, looking at this diagram again, that you can, it is possible to have a lot of people around at the same time and not, this person hasn't passed on any Y. This person passed on the mtDNA, but only to their daughter, but doesn't pass it on past that. So it is possible to have a lot of people around at the same time, which is, I only say that to say that this isn't absolute proof of one Adam and one Eve at the beginning of time. So the evolutionists aren't completely off base whenever they realize that all these are the same for everybody. It just means that these two guys won out. So here we are with that. And they date this to 160 to 300,000 years ago. Again, we'll look at the dates in a minute. It's they have a different time frame, obviously, for Adam and Eve, the mitochondrial Eve and the Y chromosomal Adam. They have different time frames for both of those. Because they don't necessarily believe that they have to have met. They could be somebody else from different time periods, and it just so happens that this happens and they happen. And you know what? We don't have a problem with that either. And I'll explain why when we get to that in a minute. We don't have a problem with them not having met. I'll explain in a minute. So the dating for Adam and Eve, this particular thing here. As we might imagine, it's based on a lot of assumptions, which is why the time frames are so huge, right? Based on a lot of assumptions, so many assumptions that just cannot be proven and should not have been used. One assumption is that chimpanzees and humans have a common ancestor. Of course, they already assume that to be the case what's the name of that logical fallacy? They assume the conclusion to be true in order to prove the conclusion. It's like some long Latin phrase, in hoc propter, or something like that. I can't remember the exact one. But it's a logical fallacy. They're assuming the conclusion to be true before proving it. And so that's what they have there. So they compared our mitochondrial DNA and the chimp's mitochondrial DNA for the mutation rate to try to determine it. So they compared, the chimp's the apes that they believe that we're closely related to. And they compared that and ours to see, this is the mutation rate. To find out, it is a very long time ago. Very long time ago. Hundreds of thousands of years. But when you only compare humans, what's the time frame that's on there? 6,500 years. When comparing humans alone, they only get a date of 6,500 years. Does that make sense for us? There is some wiggle room in the biblical chronology. I don't know if you can get 500 extra years all the way out to there, but it's close enough. And with the levels of uncertainty that you can get in this kind of measurement, why not? Why not? Very interesting stuff. And if only they, it's just, you have that thought, if only they could just see this and use this, but they are so blinded by their own worldview that they won't accept something that's outside of that worldview. And in fact, Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, they became fools. They became fools. What do you suppose the explanation is for that soft tissue in the dinosaur bones that they found? Oh, well, there must have been some little organism in there, some iron thing that happens that it created this, that, and the other. They really try to go way out of their way to explain how this is possible given 65 million years. It's just absolutely absurd. It goes against good science in order to try to figure some of that stuff out in the way that they have. All right, here's a quote that kind of proves what we're looking at here and what I've been saying. I'm covering it up on here. Hold on, let me cover me up. This is from an article in the magazine called Science, and it says, regardless of the cause, evolutionists are most concerned about the effect of a faster mutation rate. For example, researchers have calculated that mitochondrial Eve, the woman whose mtDNA was ancestral to that in all living people, lived 100,000 to 200,000 years ago in Africa. Using the new clock, she would be a mere 6,000 years old. No one thinks that's the case. No one? No one thinks that's the case? So there, if they could only, I mean, they have it right in front of them, and they just ignore it. They ignore it. Do we know anybody like that? Who has the truth staring them in the face, and yet they ignore it?
If I don't acknowledge it, then I can go ahead and do what I make it more place and justify. But if I start acknowledging it, then I have to accept the Bible and obey it. And that means that somebody is telling them, or God is telling them what to do. And they wouldn't like that. They don't want somebody controlling or telling them how they're supposed to live and how they're supposed to think and how they're supposed to do.
Certainly that's the case with some of them. You know, we talked about last week in the devotional about reasons why some people choose not to believe. We have indifference for some. For some, it's emotional reasons, and that would fall under emotional reason. I don't want to believe this. I don't want to accept this because then that means I have to change. I will be accountable for the actions that I have made on this earth. Though some people carefully consider things and still consider it to be foolishness. And so I think a lot of them are like that too. Well, I mean, this Ann Gibbons individual, well, you know, no one thinks that's the case because she thinks it's foolish. She thinks it's foolish.
Sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah, you can't see the forest for the trees. Choose not to. She is, she and those like her, are just they dismiss it out of hand as if it's an impossibility. No one thinks that's the case. I find that she didn't even try to prove it. It's rather it would be funny if it weren't sad. It would be funny if it weren't sad. The sad thing, another sad thing, is that no one has tried dating the Y chromosomal atom to fit with just comparing humans to humans. No one has done that yet, because this mitochondrial DNA happened earlier, starting in the 80s. I'm not sure when the Y chromosomal atom first started the research on that, but they had not done that since they did this in 97 with the mitochondrial study. As I mentioned before, the dates change so often with new studies that sometimes they don't even overlap. So they think, oh, well, a mitochondrial atom and a mitochondrial Eve and Y chromosomal atom, it's got to be an easier way to say that, that they were so separated in time that they couldn't have possibly have met, and there we are. So we don't have to, there's no true Adam and Eve as we might think of it, at least according to them. So, but now, current dates give an overlap of what? About 70,000 years. So there is that possibility that these two people met. There is that area of potential overlap. But even if they don't match up, that's not a problem for us. Is it? I already kind of have the hint up there. That's not a problem for us, is it? Back up to this again. Yes.
This is fact, correct? This is proven, the mitochondria and the chromosomes are proven. They can trace that. It's
yes.
Fact.
Yes, so they can't.
90% of everything else that you're talking about is scientific theory, which is theory. Theory is not fact.
That gets complicated because the common use of the word theory is not the scientific use of the word theory. There are still some theoretical elements to what we've discussed in terms of this. For instance, as I said earlier, it's still hotly debated in the scientific community that whether or not mtDNA is reliable in that regard. If the male contributes anything at all, then it is, or if it's a common thing, then it's it negates all the research done concerning mitochondrial Eve. Typically, it's understood that either it's not, the male doesn't contribute it at all, or it gets destroyed as the fertilization process takes place. So, but what if something did survive? And so there may be a small percentage of people who carry it on, who have what's called recombination, where the male and female mitochondrial DNA is passed on. So there is that possibility, but again, hotly contested. There's still debate on that. So is it theory? Is it fact? I will not adjudicate that here today. Back to Noah, though. Let's consider, if these two did not coexist, is that a problem for us? The answer, it is not a problem for us. Because, let's erase some of these things. We have Noah and Noah's wife. Well, hold on, let's go back. Let's say Adam is here and Eve is here. I should have had a better illustration for this to prove this. But erase all these other people here. Adam is here, Eve is here, and then you have all the kids that they have, and you have Eventually you have the Y chromosome passing through Adam, Seth, Enosh, Mahalalel, and all those people, right? The Y chromosome passing to them. The Y chromosome gets to Noah. Is Noah's wife going to have a Y chromosome that she can pass on? No, she's not. Are his daughters-in-law going to have any that they can pass on? No. So all of the Y chromosome that we have come through Noah's sons, which come through Noah. Did Noah and Eve know each other? Well, it's hard to say because we don't know how long Eve lived. But if she lived anywhere close to how long Adam lived, no, they didn't know each other. So what we see then is that there is not a problem if they didn't coexist. So even if this, what's called it, we could rename this instead of Y chromosomal Adam, why not call it Y chromosomal Noah? We all descend from Noah and his wife, right? The mitochondrial DNA would have passed through Eve to get down to Noah's wife, and the three daughters-in-law, the three wives of Noah's sons, who knows where they theirs came from, and would have passed it on through them to everybody else. So they would have had more time in order to mutate, whereas Noah's wouldn't have. I see that expression, Dan. Have I confused people? Make sense? Not too technical?
Some of them make sense.
Well, I just thought it was remarkable that they came up with a date. If they did proper science, they came up with a date of, in the ballpark of creation. How amazing is that? Yes.
I read a while back, and I don't recall, it was either Carolina Messenger or another one of the publications, and I don't know where they got their details from, but they acted upon the theory that, okay, the world has approximately 8 billion people at this point. They backed it up. How long does it take to create 8 billion people out of 2? And if they go all the way back to Adam and Eve's time, based on the Bible, the world's population would be way greater than it is now. But if they take it from the flood, approximately 8 billion fits into that ballpark, which I thought was an interesting study. Mm-hmm. And that takes into consideration, you know, mortality, birth rates, all that sort of stuff.
There is another consideration. We have developed technologies and things of that nature so that the Earth can sustain more people than it could during the Industrial Revolution, pre-Industrial Revolution, things of that nature. So I would be interested in seeing their calculations, how they figured that out, because there is quite a lot of there's quite a lot of variables to determining population size and how many people would have gotten here based on the technology of the time and what was possible, what was feasible. So I don't really put too much stock in those calculations because there's just too many variables to really keep track of. Although somebody might have been able to do it. Somebody might be smart enough. I don't know. Using a computer, I guess they'd have that possibility. All right, I'm looking at the comments now on the Facebook. So if there's any questions, anything, yes.
I think you might want to clarify that we don't believe that there was, that Adam and Eve never met.
Okay.
regardless of what science
yeah.
says, the Bible says something completely different.
Well, clearly Adam and Eve met. The question is, does Y-chromosomal Adam and mitochondrial Eve, have they met? We could rename Y-chromosomal Adam to Y-chromosomal Noah, because he was the most recent ancestor to all of us. Male ancestor to all of us. So I think that would be a good way to put that. That Y-chromosomal Adam and mitochondrial Eve do not necessarily correlate to the biblical Adam and Eve. But they can.
Because as far as we know, the Eve is the only female that would have started the passing down.
Yes.
So it would have had to have come from her. So Noah's wife and his three daughter-in-laws should have her.
Right. Noah's wife and her three daughters-in-law should have Eve's mtDNA. That's right. As do we all. And we would expect that, given a creation model, a creation understanding of genetics and the universe. And we, as we expect all men to have the same Y chromosome, a Y chromosomal DNA, or Y chromosome, I suppose, is a better way to put that, that could date back to Noah, which would date back to Adam as well, because obviously Noah is a descendant of Adam. So that is just, I mean, the problem. There are so many things. One day, I'm sure, if we continue with these evidences, I'm sure I'll mention or bring up the soft tissue and dinosaur bones, because that is just so fascinating, too. These are absolute proofs of a young Earth, and yet they go completely overlooked. They're like, they're blinded by, but that's a good passage to go to. Paul talk about the Jews reading the Old Testament. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Paul applies this to the Jews reading the Old Testament. We can apply that to scientists reading the natural world. While they study these things, a veil is over their hearts, is over their eyes, and they can't see it for some reason, staring at them in the face. All right. Any other thoughts or comments? All right.